Approximately 6,000 people were forced to flee Saint-Mars-sur-le-Lac after a dike holding back the Lake of Two Mountains breached. According to CBC, residents were told to clear out as the water rushed in Saturday evening, and by 10 p.m., the water had risen nearly 2 meters in the worst-hit areas and continued to rise on Sunday. Provincial Police Sergeant Daniel Thibodeau said, quote, "In some cases, people had a matter of minutes to just get certain personal effects and leave as quickly as they could," end quote. There have been no reports of injuries or missing persons after an estimated 2,500 homes in the off-island Montreal suburb were evacuated. Emergency services supported by provincial police officers and the Canadian Armed Forces were on the scene Sunday morning going door to door, making sure everybody's out of harm's way. The Native Women's Association of Canada Board will be holding a special meeting in the coming weeks to decide the future of its president. The announcement comes after CBC reported that the police were called to the Ottawa offices of the organization after tensions rose between NWAC President Francine Jo and CEO Lynn Group. This resulted in Jo being escorted out and banned from the office. The NWAC told APTN News in an email that Group wrote to members of NWAC's Executive Council to outline concerns she has regarding the inappropriate behavior of President Francine Jo in the workplace. Gru also told APTN News that despite trying multiple ways to resolve their issues, her and Jo are still at odds. Employees have also spoken out in regards to the toxic workplace environment and how changes need to be made to decentralize the power at the top. In Spain, a far-right party makes major gains as the governing socialists scramble for support from other smaller parties. According to CBC, on Sunday, with 2/3 of the ballots counted, the socialists led by Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez won 126 seats in the 350-seat Congress of Deputies, leaving them 50 seats short of the 176-seat majority needed to govern. Sanchez will need to form alliances with smaller parties like the United We Can, a far-left party, and other Catalan and separatist parties to remain in power. Meanwhile, Vox, the far-right and anti-immigrant party, won 10% of the votes. Vox's arrival in the Spanish government marks a big shift, as the far-right has not had a significant role since 1975. This election also highlighted the major divides in the political landscape as the country struggles with recession, austerity cuts, corruption scandals, the divisive Catalan independence demands, and a rise in far-right Spanish nationalism. To hear the newscast and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
What's up, guys? You're tuned in to Hear For It on CJLO 1690 AM. I'm Cammie, and I'm here with Amanda. And tonight, our topic is all about conspiracy theories. I just want to refer back to our Instagram story where we had a few people that answered, our loyal followers. Thank you so much. We asked if you guys would like us to play the, what's it called again?
It's I Got a Theory, and it's from Buffy the Vampire Slayer from like season 6. They did a musical episode, and I used to be obsessed with it in like high school, and I was just like looking up for songs that kind of had a theme of conspiracy theories, and it came up, and then my irrational mind was like, I have to post this, but then I was thinking maybe no one but me would want to hear it.
So Amanda sent me the link. Was it yesterday that you sent it to me? And I had never seen it.
1 a.m.
Yeah. I had never seen it before. And I was like, oh, what's this? Because she always sends me like, you know, music, music referrals for our show. And I opened up the link and all I see is the cast of Buffy the Vampire Slayer singing. And I just cringed. I was like so turned off by it. Because if anyone else can relate, you know how Riverdale does musical pieces? Like they do musical episodes. Can everyone agree that those are so cringeworthy? Like, I'm not saying they're bad singers. I'm just saying.
You can't compare Riverdale with Buffy the Vampire Slayer, though.
But they were equally as bad is what I'm saying. Like, it just doesn't match. You're not supposed to, you know, do so many episodes of a dramatic show and then all of a sudden pull out a musical.
The only thing is that Buffy the Vampire Slayer had an arc to their plot. And it was a dancing demon who made people dance and sing until they spontaneously combusted. And that was weird. Super realistic for the early 2000s, okay? So it worked.
It is so weird. I can't watch them.
But anyways, we I was like, okay, do I do it? Do I not? Cammy said no. I said yes.
Absolutely not.
And our loyal followers, I think it was 8-1 for yes. Yeah. So for the 8 people who said yes.
Those loyal followers, we love you.
I will be playing it at the end of the show as our farewell for the night.
Your wish is our command.
Yes.
Which I don't understand why you guys would vote for yes.
Oh, please. But it's a throwback.
I'm not mad.
I'm just disappointed.
So like we said, it's all about conspiracy theories. So the first conspiracy theory that we wanted to just, what's the word I'm looking for? Talk about, I guess, is the fact that people believe that the earth is not round, but that it's flat.
Yeah, I am. This just makes sense in so many, like for so many reasons. It's just, I don't know. It's just we're in 2019.
That silent sigh.
We're in 2019. Like just, I remember like 2 weeks ago when I had mentioned that random fact about the two islands that have 26-hour time difference, yes, time zone difference, yes, but they're like 2 hours away. If that is possible, how in the world is it that the world is flat? That makes no sense. Do we go through space to go to the other side? I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense at all. And and because like apparently a few months ago, YouTube sent out a statement that they would stop recommending as much, I don't know, like these videos of conspiracies that can be harmful and are dishonest.
Well, because conspiracy theories mess with people's minds.
Yeah, know? Because like basically you start with one conspiracy and it's like down the rabbit hole. You're just all of a sudden five videos in and you're just like keep going and you're just like, and in the end, like if it's really late, you keep watching it. And I think one of their reasonings for like stopping this recommendation is that people who tend, it was like really biased, it was just very generalizing, but people who tend to watch these things might not be in the right state of mind, like if they're depressed, okay, or and like
that's not
true. Like isolated, okay, and like they'll start with one,
that's rude,
and then because it keeps recommending it, you keep watching more and okay, more videos, and then you start believing them.
But I can relate in a sense that maybe not for conspiracy theories, but anybody who spends time watching YouTube videos ends up in this dark rabbit hole, like you said. You know, it could be any YouTube video. It just, like, the suggestions keep coming up, and then you just keep clicking, and then the next thing you know, 3 hours or 4 hours has gone by, and you just spent all of that time on YouTube watching videos that were related to one another. So I don't think, I wouldn't necessarily, but that's an interesting.
Yeah, it was, like, a generalization,
yes,
of it.
Yes, it's very interesting.
And they were also talking, like, there's, like, many articles about this, but one of them was saying how people can't take, like, I don't know if you guys know Logan Paul. He's, like, the infamous Viner who is just flat out disgusting. But anyways.
Straight up.
Just, I mean, he filmed a dead body. Yeah, like, who does
very
that?
Very disrespectful, for sure.
And he was one of the key speakers at this Flat Earth gathering.
What?
In, like, I don't even know why. And he doesn't even believe in it. He just did it for, like, money. And they were saying how he's just promoting this, like, this stupidity or, like, yeah, this.
But isn't he known for doing stuff like that?
Yeah, it's just the thing is that, I don't know, just they were saying how harmful it is.
Right. And so I guess for anyone who's listening who doesn't know who Logan Paul is, he's just this YouTube, I guess, sensation. He's become a YouTube sensation, but he's very well known for doing absurd things and posting videos of them. And the really bad thing about it is that kids tend to watch these, so teens, and they tend to be, you know, influenced by him, and they think that his jokes are funny, but really there's just totally disrespectful. There's a limit. There's a limit to what you can do that's funny and then what you can do and it becomes disrespectful. So, and I think he's totally past that line of disrespect. Like, I think he's just way beyond it. But yeah, just in case anyone who was listening who didn't know who Logan Paul was, that's who he was. And then there was a whole controversy on him with just such disrespectful videos that he kind of lost popularity. So Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was going through quote unquote proofs that the earth is flat. And I fell upon this YouTube video with 200 proofs. I didn't watch it all. It was just too much. It was like over 2 hours long. And one of them were like reasons like the horizon always looks straight. Like it's a straight line within a circle. Like it's just straight.
Okay.
Whichever altitude you are, it's straight, meaning it's flat. And just reading it, this makes no sense. First of all, if you had any type of, I don't know, geometry or math in elementary school or high school, you know that there is it's just a sphere has lines inside.
Mm.
Like you can have cut a sphere in half and it's going to be straight. That's a true. Dome has straight. And basically the sky is like a dome. I don't know how they didn't think of this. And also if you look closely, I don't know if you guys can, you have to really stare, but you can also kind of see that it's not totally straight.
If you really inspect it.
One of the things is that
oh, that's funny. I'm sorry, I'm like reading it off your laptop.
The course of rivers would apparently be flowing uphill if the earth is actual, because the earth is round and spinning, therefore the rivers would be going uphill. And this theory seems to forget the whole concept of gravity. So no, rivers and waterfalls wouldn't be going up.
That's so funny.
And this is where I stopped because I was like, I couldn't physically go through the 2 hours. I think, yeah. And there were things like, I guess NASA and the government was in on this. It was quite unsettling.
The thing about conspiracy theories, though, is that sometimes the theories are so well thought out.
Yeah. And
not talking about the Earth is flat one, by the way, because like just things, the most part of all these theories like don't come out right. But I'm saying like some theories, some people like they come up with such good arguments where it's like you can't even argue it if you're not, well, if you don't, you're not, wow, I'm skipping over all my words. Okay, hold on. If you're not well educated on a certain subject, contradict each other too much.
Have a counter argument.
Right. Yes, exactly. So if there's something that you're not super not like educated on and someone's giving you a theory about it and they're making a lot of sense and their theories are backed up by certain facts, then it sounds so true. And that's the whole thing about conspiracy theories, is that people come up with such good arguments that you can't help but have like an argument in your head of like what's right and what's wrong. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess like that's the entire thing about conspiracy theories.
I mean, that's all I had to say about flat earth, because I couldn't. But I mean, you had a few about The Simpsons, right?
Which okay.
You probably heard, because it's super, it's gained such popularity throughout the years that The Simpsons actually predict everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back way into the 90s, they predict things from the early 2000s and even the mid 2000s. Well, mm-hmm. Later. Yes. We're still in the early 2000s, technically.
I guess.
Yeah.
But anyways, so my brother and I are huge fans of The Simpsons. Maybe not so much the past few years, but mm-hmm. We were really early on.
Same.
And so I kind of just dove into some of The Simpsons conspiracy theories that came out. And so obviously the first one that I want to talk about is the Donald Trump being president conspiracy theory, that The Simpsons predicted this. So there is an episode, I can't remember what year it came out. I think it was in 2000 that they said.
Yeah,
that's my notes here. So it's in 2000, there was an episode that came out about Donald Trump being president. And they have this one scene in the show where he's going down an escalator and he's waving and then he gives a thumbs up. And then in 2016, there's actually a clip of him going down an escalator, waving in the same exact outfit with his red, well, very predictable, you know, presidents and their red ties. But anyways, he waves and he puts a thumbs up. And it was uncanny how identical the two scenes were and how many years apart that they were. And so people were saying that Matt Groening, who is the writer for The Simpsons, was able to predict, I guess, the future. And not, they didn't say this based on only this scene. They said it based on a numerous amount of predictions that he may have made through The Simpsons, through the show. Mm-hmm. So what I was reading, even though... So the thing is, Donald Trump was known, especially in the early 2000s, to like, I guess everyone knows how he is. He talks and he keeps talking and he gloats and he just says a bunch of absurd things. So I'm sure from the rumors and from things that I'd read, Donald Trump was talking about presidency even way back then. He was talking about how, you know, he's I don't want to quote him. I don't want to say what he must have been saying, but he was implying that presidency was in his future, that was something that he was going to go and aim for. So for the Simpsons and the writers to predict something like this and to write something about this in their scripts, it's a logical, I guess, assumption that they could have made based on the things that he may have been saying. So I don't see that this particular example. I think the only thing where people kind of were in so much to the conspiracy theory was because of that, the scenes being identical. But I was telling you before, I don't know if you remember, when we were talking about it, I was saying how this happened. So the Simpsons episode came out in the 2000s, okay? My conspiracy theory about the government and all these people is that they do things on purpose just for publicity, right? They could have easily just... Donald Trump is an entertainment. He's a
reality TV.
Yeah, he's in the entertainment world. So for him to know that The Simpsons had done this, I'm sure his publicist or something was like, do this just to freak people out, you know? I feel like that could have easily been something that was of conversation between him and his publicist. I don't know.
Yeah, it was a conspiracy theory on the conspiracy theory.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to go on a short break, and afterwards we're going to be playing Blink 182 Aliens Exist, and then tackle some more conspiracy theories like, do we live in a simulation, and how deep into the Disney and Pixar conspiracy theories I personally went into and almost didn't get out of. So I guess we'll talk to you guys right after the break.
Victoria Weekend goes live at Club Soda on Sunday, May 19th with A Taste of Reggae. One amazing concert featuring three incredible live bands jamming at Club Soda on Victoria Holiday Weekend, Sunday, May 19th. Doors open at 7 p.m. Performing will be Meta and the Cornerstones alongside Ilem and Inus Aso. This is a show you will not want to miss.
Mustard, relish, onions, coso.
Sorry, what?
Mustard, relish, onions, coso.
Sorry, what?
Mustard, relish, onions, coso. Mustard, relish, onions, coso.
All jest. A delicious blend of all things synthy, disco, synth pop, new wave, and funk.
Tune in every Thursday night from 9 to 10, only on CJLO 1690.
Hey mom, there's something in the back room. Hope it's not the creatures from above. You used to read me stories as if my dreams were boring. We all know conspiracies are dumb. What if people knew that these were real? I leave my closet door open all night. Friends, it will be till we die. I got it.
Welcome back. You're listening to Here For It with Cammie and Amanda, and you're tuned in to CJLO 1690 AM. So just before the break, we were talking about conspiracy theories, and guess what? We're still going to talk about conspiracy theories.
Really?
I had no idea. So I actually wanted to go into another conspiracy theory about The Simpsons. So The Simpsons, apparently, and by the way, everything that I'm talking about for The Simpsons is coming from a New York Times article where they go through some of the conspiracy theories that of The Simpsons. Anyway, so this one is about 9/11. So essentially, in one of the episodes in The Simpsons that had come out and aired in 1997, had so, I guess, I quote unquote predicted the future in a sense, because there was this magazine cover that Bart Simpson was holding. Was it Bart Simpson? Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Bart Simpson was holding. And it had said the title was New York at $9 a day. And
no, it was it was $9 for the magazine, and then there was a scene of New York behind.
Yeah, like the skyline was in the back.
Yeah, with the twin towers.
The twin towers. So you had the nine on the cover, and then right behind that in the skyline was the twin towers. So next to it, I guess diagonally behind the nine, there was an 11, and so that it kind of showed like it was 9/11. Mm-hmm. So people were saying, oh my gosh, you know, the writers of The Simpsons kind of predicted this, or anyways, it was a whole conspiracy theory about it. And I just think that, you know, that is 1000% like a coincidence. I don't think the Twin Towers together obviously would form in any drawing would form an 11, right?
Yeah, for
and
sure.
The nine was not chosen for any particular reason. From what I was reading in the article, it was the writers just, you know, assumed $9 is a cheap amount, so that they just chose nine randomly. It wasn't for any particular reason. Anyways, it was pretty interesting to see, to read it.
Yeah, no, it's conspiracy theories. I don't even know where they begin. As for me, I went down another route. I found conspiracy theories about whether or not we live in a simulation, a little like a glitch in the Matrix. I have to watch The Matrix. I feel like I should just... Anyways.
You probably should.
I probably should. If you guys watch Bandersnatch, it's a little similar to that. Like,
started with Bandersnatch. I can't.
I liked it. It was just... It messed with me, though. So one of these theories about a simulation is the Mandela effect. And this is a theory that stems from, apparently, some people remember Nelson Mandela's death being televised in the 80s, even though he died in 2013 at the age of 95. And another example, a lot of people remember the Berenstain Bears was spelt with E-I-N at the end.
Oh my gosh, I remember reading
instead
this.
Of A-I-N, which is like, I don't know how
they
made.
Does anyone even remember that show? Like, that
I
was
remember
the weirdest,
that show.
That was the weirdest.
But I also remember it with E-I-N.
I don't know what I remember.
And to conspiracy theorists, this raises the question of, are we living in a simulation? And it means that either the people who remember the televised death are probably from another dimension or simulation and kind of broke through and remember this, or there was a glitch in the system, or whoever has created the simulation went back in time and changed the outcome of it. So basically, our universe is created in this theory. Another one is missing aliens. So I took this is all from 15 irrefutable reasons why we might be living in a simulation, and it's from The Vulture. The fact that we don't know where other civilizations are in space, despite the billions spent to explore like our universe, like space, mm-hmm. is weird to them. And I don't know about you, but space is vast. And just, like, I don't know how we would even find answers. And this theory suggests that either aliens are so tech advanced that they escape our simulation of our solar system, I guess, or that we live in, or that the simulation only has enough RAM to simulate one planet civilization. So we just, they're out of, I guess, like whatever RAM is. It's like data.
I have no idea. I'm well, so it's lost.
Basically they have out. They had like they ran out of space to make more Sims. Oh, okay. Like if we were Sims, they could only make one house basically. If that makes sense. I feel like I'm just confusing everyone else. Okay, another one was climate change. How convenient.
What?
Yeah. So in this theory is that. This is in quotes, our civilization is just coincidentally set on the cusp of an environmental chaos, suggesting we could be an ancestor simulation created in hopes that we'd show our creators how to solve an energy crisis.
Whoa, yeah. That is so weird.
So basically, like, they put us all in here, set the thing at climate change, and they're like, how are they gonna survive this? Mm-hmm. And then take notes.
That is so weird.
So we're like lab rats basically.
Whoa, okay, that makes me so uncomfortable because like I don't like, for people who have their own beliefs, I totally respect it, but in my personal opinion, you know, I can't help but wonder like how, just where everything comes, like, you know what I mean? So you kind of, your mind wanders. And so for things like this to be said, I think it's a bit extreme in my opinion, mm-hmm. but you never know. You actually don't.
That's the thing. One of the things is that you can't prove this wrong.
You can't prove it right, but you can't prove it wrong either.
Yeah. Like, you couldn't the thing is these conspiracy theories are potential rights, but you cannot prove the theories wrong because it's just, you can't.
It makes me so uncomfortable.
Another is video games that look like real life. So we are capable of creating simulations that look very realistic. So why not? How is it not plausible for someone else to do the same and it's us? Weird. So basically a world within a world within a world.
I have like the goosebumps.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
And all these things, there's like, I was saying like Bandersnatch, I'm guessing there's more than one decision. So they're just basically, we're like a video game.
Has anybody, like, I know you, why would I even ask that question? I was like, has anybody seen Bandersnatch? Like, people are going to answer me. it's just so weird. I don't know if anyone has ever experienced Bandersnatch. I tried, basically it's a show on Netflix where you can make the decisions for the characters. So you're mm-hmm. watching a show, but you're making the decisions for these people.
It's insane. I watched it a few months ago and I just got really stressed watching it. Just,
it's so weird.
Like, the question was, what cereals should I eat today? And I'm like, oh my God, what cereals should we eat today?
It's like, we don't even put that much thought into our own lives. You know what I mean? Like,
I want to rewatch it because I only met two endings and there are so many more endings. And that's what gets to you because you're just like, I don't know. Like, I think I died once or like I died once. And then the second time, I don't even know what I did, but it was the last. I guess you have two chances. It was like a death too much.
Honestly, too many. We tried watching it, me and my boyfriend, and we just, I wanted to push through to watch, like, to continue, but he was not for it. He was just like, this is too weird. And then I started to get uncomfortable too, because first of all, the people who produced this movie, that's for a lot of time.
It's a lot of work.
Lot of work.
It's very impressive because like
I respect that 100%, but for me to be able to make a decision, like, I don't want to make any spoilers because it's pretty interesting as an experience for anybody, so I think that people should go out and try it. But it's just so interesting how they would make, they've literally, you know, given you options and they've filmed the consequences of each chosen option. So it's just crazy how much time must have been put into it. And I feel like it's not getting enough.
Because I remember I used to like those books where you're like, you read and at the bottom of the page, it's like, if you want this to happen, go to page 85.
Yes, like, that's so true. Yeah. I forgot about that.
So it was also based on that. Mm-hmm. Like, like the protagonist wanted yes. to create a video game based on a book that was exactly the same. And so you, as the viewer, are also doing the same. So they're mm-hmm. all doing the same thing. And then also the characters get like really paranoid about you. And then they start yeah. directly talking to you. And you're just like, so oh weird. My God. So you're, yeah. you're really playing God in yeah. a movie.
It's so weird.
It's yeah.
And it's an interesting experience though.
Yeah. I think it took like, I watched it. It took like an hour and a half, like a good, decent mm-hmm. movie. So the next one was Weird News. So this is in quotation. Some have proposed that recent unlikelihoods, including Donald Trump's election, Brexit, the 2017 Oscars envelope mix-up, and that year's 25-point Super Bowl comeback could mean we're in a malfunction simulation or whoever is pushing the buttons is screwing with us.
What?
That's weird.
First of all, for the Donald Trump election, I totally can understand that. But for the other things, those are, yeah.
Yeah. Then the other one was that you can't prove that we don't live in a simulation. You can't
which
prove.
Which we've said, yeah.
There's the Goldilocks zone, which I was actually talking to my friend a few weeks about that because I had just gone to the planetarium for the first time. And I was just so amazed about how in like our close vicinity in our solar system, like and the solar, like the galaxies nearby, mm-hmm. we are the only planet that can sustain life. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that there's no life past, because there's so many galaxies that we can't really like know of, but in our close vicinity that we can, that astronauts can like visit or like NASA can like
view, I guess.
View, mm-hmm. yeah. We are the only planet that has all the perfect elements, that we're not only fire, we're not only gas, we're not only water. We have it all. We have a core mm-hmm. and we can grow bacteria, which created with like evolution, like obviously us. So yeah, it's weird. So this one says that the fact that we're in this Goldilocks zone, Earth is close enough to a star for light and warmth, but far enough not to be deadly. It's perfect, unlike the other planets of our solar system and even from neighboring galaxies. So they're just basically saying that it's just so unlikely that we are such a perfect planet and we are yeah. the only planet that it has to be a simulation. Like mm-hmm. someone had to create.
Well, that can kind of fall into also thinking how they said that astronauts never actually, for example, oh, yeah. on the moon, like landing on the moon.
Yeah, that it was not a thing.
There's
it was
theories
like
that
staged.
People haven't actually, yeah, that it was staged. So I guess we don't actually know, mm-hmm. you know, what's out there. It kind of falls into that, I guess.
Another one is we had a few weeks ago, we had our ghosts.
Stories?
Yeah, our ghost mm-hmm. stories. So this one says that a glitch in the system, in our simulation of life, is more likely than finding ghosts. So when we find a ghost, it's a glitch in the system.
It makes me so uncomfortable. All of this makes me, when it's talking about when we're talking about simulations, it just puts me in this position where I feel totally and completely lost.
Yeah, it's weird. And like this is the last one. Mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of like the maybe not trippy, but it was kind of like the trippiest. So it was the whole debate between Yanni and Laurel. I don't know if you heard like about the debate. It's like there was an audio and everyone was freaking out whether it was Laurel or Yanni, and like everyone had a different idea. It's a little like the black and blue dress or the white and gold.
Oh my gosh, yes, yes, yes.
Yes. I say it was white and gold. It just doesn't make any sense that it was otherwise.
Wait, but what?
So
black or white or white and gold?
Is that no, it's blue and black or white and
see,
gold.
See, I saw blue and black.
Which
okay,
was the
this
actual,
just makes me so uncomfortable.
The actual dress was blue and black, but somehow in the shade that whatever, it looked white and gold to me. And it just doesn't make sense that anyone would see otherwise.
I try not to follow these things. They just mess with me too
and
much.
So in quotations again, say what you will about pitch and volume and color saturation. These controversies made one thing clear. Each of us lives in our own world. So our realities are partly a simulation created by our brains. Which kind of makes sense because just an example, like your memory, you're going to remember something differently.
That's true.
Than someone else.
First of all, I don't even remember anything. Anybody who, like my family and my friends, they always make fun of me for that because I can't remember like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Like, and it so could many... be like something like as minor as what color something was mm-hmm. or like even I had a I remember in high school doing something with my friends and another friend remembers that she did it.
Whoa.
And it makes so weird. Obviously I did it and she I don't know
just like obviously I did.
No, but I did, but then I found out later that she was saying that she did it. And it's like a weird thing because that's and you could also make yourself believe things. And so you can create your own simulation just by like
so
inventing things.
Let's go back to The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Like, this is daydreams.
Dreams.
Oh, that is such an interesting one.
Yeah. Yes. I didn't do any research on this, but I always thought dreams were really interesting. And I actually
we should have gone into those.
It's so I don't true. Know why I didn't think about it.
I didn't think about it either.
Next time, maybe. We'll definitely have like part two, probably.
For sure.
But yeah, I had a philosophy class in CEGEP mm-hmm. and our first part was like dreams. And it was just the whole like one of the questions was like, what is real life? Is it are we dreaming of when we dream? Is it like another life? Like, is that our second life? And if we bring it back to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, they actually had an episode about that, which
oh my gosh.
Freaked me out. Basically, for context, Buffy in like end of season 5 died and was resurrected. They're like magic, obviously, in season 6. And at the end of season 6, there's this whole episode about her being stuck in two worlds. So she like wakes up into her real world of a slayer, but then sometimes finds herself in another world where she's in a mental hospital and she's been there for 6-7 years. And her parents are alive and she is thought to be having mental problems because she thinks she's a slayer.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, so she basically goes back and forth and then in the end she has to decide which world to stay in.
Imagine that. Well,
yeah, and in the end you never know which world is the real one. Like maybe she picked the simulation. Maybe the Slayer is like logically speaking her simulation and she actually died and she just continued. So that was the trippiest one like episode. I thought it was really interesting.
So weird.
What is real, what is not?
That is definitely trippy. Yeah. I get uncomfortable as I've been saying through this entire episode. Like it just makes me question too many things and not that I'm naive or that I'm easily influenced, but it just you can't help but you know explore and like kind of wander too far. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there was another Simpsons conspiracy theory that I found was interesting, I guess, just because I'd never heard of it and I don't remember the episode. Anyways, so there was apparently Homer Simpson. So we all know that Homer Simpson was known to be like not so bright. In one of the episodes, he was. I guess illustrated to be doing a form like drawing out a formula on the board, and it's called the Higgs boson theory. I want to say boson. I hope I'm pronouncing it properly. I really hope so. Anyway, so bosons are thought to be these particles, which are I'm gonna read off of this one because I don't want to make any mistakes, and I did some research on it. So it says bosons are thought to be particles which are responsible for all physical forces. The Higgs boson is the particle associated with the Higgs field, which is an energy field that transmits mass to the things that travel through it. So all of that was total foreign language to me. But anyone who understands it, I hope you're following along. Anyways, it was just interesting because it says that Homer Simpson essentially came really freakishly close to successfully finding out an equation that would, I guess, solve the Higgs boson theory or particle. And this was way before 2012, which was when the actual formula was solved. And they were just saying how, it was crazy that they can't, they said it, quote unquote, with like the word that they used, it was like so like a hair like thin, like what's that expression that they use? You know,
I know what you're talking about.
Like
can't.
So thin, so close to coming to the actual solution that they said, oh, my God, once again, The Simpsons is predicted or has been able to solve or whatever they with their conspiracy theories. And then David Cohen, who was one of the people that was involved in The Simpsons, he said that they said that David Cohen was really, really well educated with math and that he just took a wild, kind of took a wild guess while making the episode and that he really came smart. That close to figuring it out all those years before. So it was just kind of crazy in how they just said they're pretty much a lot of people. What they're saying is that the Simpsons had the people who are the creators of the Simpsons have knowledge of things that your average person does not. And that's where all the conspiracy theories and all of the beliefs are coming from, is that they're the writers and the team behind The Simpsons is using the show to predict things or to kind of, I guess, foreshadow things. And it's just really interesting with the things that, that people pull out of this show, because it is kind of true in the sense that a lot of the things are ironic in their show and how many years before they come out with certain predictions or not. They're not even predictions at the time. They're just your regular average scene in a show. But then all, like, you know, years later, something happens and it's like, whoa, The Simpsons had that in their show like 5 or 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's what freaks people out. And that's understandable, 100%.
Yeah, they had like so many. I think I had seen one about how they predicted Prince's death.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And
but that was just.
That I didn't make
like
sense.
Some of them are just like logical, like.
No, but like this one was like an episode about where Homer was hired to kill celebrities, and then the song Psycho Killer was playing, and then the first celebrity was just Prince.
It just happened to be.
Yeah, and then he just like they wanted him to be killed with his like guitar, and it had nothing to do with the actual death of the singer.
Yeah.
So like some of these things just don't add up. Yes, for after our short break,
we need to jump into the most exciting conspiracy theories.
It's excessive to say, like, to say the least. So we'll be back in short after the short break.
Join Concordia University's MA Media Studies students for Performing Justice, a one-day conference celebrating the intersection of activism and performance held at the Meteor Institute for Arts, Culture, and Technology on May 3rd at 2:30 p.m. Attend our zine and custom t-shirt making workshops before watching our Pecha Kusha Roundtable and our panel featuring amazing local artists Phoenix Inanna, Uma God, and Blackberry Jam. This event was made possible by Concordia's Meteor Institute for Arts, Culture, and Technology, Graduate Students Association, School of Graduate Studies, and Department of Communication Studies. Let's decolonize and queer academia together.
Do you want to have a discussion about movies?
You talking to me?
And have the iconic sounds of cinema? Well, tune in to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds every Tuesday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. only on CJLO 1690 AM with your host, Remy.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
You're listening to Here For It with Cami and Amanda, and you're tuned in to CJLO 1690 AM. So to wrap up our conspiracy theory topic tonight, we are going to dive into something that a lot of people can relate to, at least in our generation, and that is the conspiracy theories about Disney films and characters. And I'll let Amanda take over.
Yeah, I was when we decided to do conspiracy theories, I was like, what better place but Disney? Initially I was gonna talk about Pixar, and there's just so much information that I feel like I would just confuse everyone. It's just to like wrap up Pixar, basically Boo from Monsters Inc., the little girl, is the witch in Brave, which is centuries before, and she was so obsessed when Sully left the monster that when she was older, she used the doors to time travel, but she couldn't control where she would end up. So she ended up being the one placing all the Easter eggs in the Pixar movies. So things like the Pizza Planet from Toy Story. There's like a little toy of it in Brave. There's that sheet like the witch mate crafted with wood. Also in Brave, there's Sully like in a wood sculpture. And the theory is that it starts with Brave, where Merida finds the magic and then leads to like a war between machines and toys. No, a war between machines, toys against humans.
So I guess objects.
Objects, yeah. Yes. Objects against humans. And this is after you see this like in The Incredibles, because like the corporation in The Incredibles is the same one as in that destroyed the Earth in WALL-E. And
I never saw WALL-E.
Yeah, me neither. I have to watch it. Apparently, yeah, it's really cute. Should. And then after it's like Cars. So Cars is in our world. It's just humans were expelled of Earth. They're like on another planet. And
so weird.
WALL-E like finds the little plant, and then the plant turns into the big tree in Bug's Life. And
what kind of connection?
Yeah. And then animals, they evolve. Okay. Yeah, I was just like, what's the word? I said it before. Evolve into monsters. And that's why the monsters think that humans are toxic. And then it brings us to Sully and his friendship with Boo. And then back to the beginning with Merida and the witch. So
what a cycle.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, like I was telling you before, I'm pretty sure that the creators and the writers do these things on purpose.
Probably.
Just to mess with people.
And like the worst part is like I just rambled on and that was just the gist of it. It wasn't even detailed. I missed a bunch. But on to Disney. I mean, on this list, there's also Pixar, but we'll start off with Up, the story of an old man, you know, like he makes, he puts balloons on his house and he tries to travel to Paradise Falls. And this theory says that Carl is dead all along, that he is traveling to like the afterlife. That's why it's called Paradise Falls. And Russell, the little kid who's in like guides or something, like he's, I was going to say Girl Guides, but he's not in Girl Guides.
He's like Scout, Boy Scout.
A Scout. Yeah, yeah, it's a Boy Scout. I was just like, what? He's an angel trying to earn his wings, which in the movie they say the Wilderness Explorer badge. So that's the next one was Aladdin is set in a post-apocalyptic future. And in this theory, they say that basically the genie says that he's stuck in his, he was stuck there for 10,000 years. And the fact that he does a lot of references from the 20th century means that Aladdin is at least from 10,300. Or it could just mean that it was created in the 90s and that's the references they used. But, you know, details.
Details.
The next one is, again, it's like with Toy Story, and this theory says that Andy's mom is the real villain of Toy Story. And this theory goes around with the fact that Jesse the toy, the cowboy, or cowgirl, sorry, was abandoned by a little girl named Emily. And this theory says that Emily is Andy's mom, grows up to be Andy's mom. And they prove this by saying that Andy wears Jesse's hat since the first movie and Jesse was introduced in the second. So that's where the theory like is justified, I guess. Yes, now this is the one.
This is the one I was waiting for.
This is the one that I like literally researched this afternoon and I just got real deep into it.
Yeah,
like,
she got just lost. We were together for about, like, I don't know how many hours, and I just lost her.
I was just like, did you hear about this? It was been like half an hour. She's like, you're still on this?
Yeah.
So we all started with Frozen, and you probably heard about this theory about how Anna and Elsa are Tarzan's sisters. Two different movies, two different settings. And
completely different settings to start.
Completely, yeah. So this theory goes that Tarzan's parents' ship sunk and they've built a life in the jungle. Just like Anna and Elsa's parents apparently died at sea when their ship sunk. And this is backed up by the co-director, Chris Buck, apparently said that he believes that Tarzan and the sisters are related. Because to him, like, all these worlds are connected somehow. But then I follow the theory of Jane from Tarzan being the descendant of Belle from Beauty and the Beast. You can see that with, in Tarzan, his monkey friend, Turk, I think her name is. She's playing with, like, at one point they're, like, dancing around the settlement where the English, like, obviously settled. And she's playing music on, like, a tea set. And it's the same tea set as Mrs. Potts.
Which is in Beauty and the Beast.
Which is in Beauty and the Beast. And so, that's how they got it. This is, by the way, all from DisneyTheory.com. So it's like a site about
Disney.
They
have a whole site
about
this. So you can just imagine how deep it goes.
And they go with this, like, they list a few similarities between Belle and Jane, which I thought were pretty funny. Their fashion sense, which both wear a yellow dress. Their eccentric fathers. And their taste in men, which tend to go for the wilder ones. And their passion to civilize these men. Please, girls, if you're listening, don't do this. Just give up. Don't do it. And then they go deeper. How are you going to connect French Belle and English Jane after, like, centuries? And this is through the eccentric German Duke, the Duke of Wesselton. And this is from Frozen. I don't know if you remember, but he was commonly referred from saying that he was from Weaselton. No, Weaseltown. So I'm going to, like, try to say this really quickly. But basically, they were saying that the book La Belle et la Bête was published in 1740, framing the story in the late 1700s. Based on similar estimates, Frozen is likely to be set in the mid-1800s. In the late 1700s, the French Revolution happened, and so the theory goes that Prince Adam and Belle probably fled from France to not die, and because they were well off, went to Germany and probably were friendly with the German nobility. This explains why the Duke is so afraid of sorcery in Frozen and magical women with long, fair hair, because his grandfather was cursed by a woman of such. Because he was shut out from any future trade with Arendelle, the Duke probably didn't go back to Weaseltown and probably found his home in England as a change of scenery. And then this, they go down with history here. The British Industrial Revolution was approximately at the end of 1700s to the early 1800s, which is probably around the time the Duke immigrated there.
It's all way too far.
Yeah, already. Basically made a living for himself enough so that his son can become a professor and have the means to go on expeditions to Africa. And this is how Jane is Belle's great, great, great granddaughter.
What?
Yeah. And I'm not even like...
But like, where?
I hope this made some sense, because there's, like, so much information. I was, like, trying not to be too confusing.
Don't worry. We're going to post the recording. You guys can pause and take a minute to kind of just digest everything.
Yeah.
This is crazy, though.
Yeah. And I'm not even, like... And they like linked the Little Mermaid to Anna and Elsa and Tarzan's parents, because in the Little Mermaid, there's the ship, the sunken ship that she goes to. Well, guess what? Like, Frozen takes place in Norway. Tangled is in Germany. Oh, wait, no. Yeah.
Vice Tangled. Versa?
No, yeah. Tangled. I'm like now bringing Tangled in. This is how confused I am. This is how they linked the Little Mermaid, Frozen, and Tangled together.
I don't like any of this.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not even going to go down this one because it's just going to be confusing.
Can they just watch the movies?
I can't.
And stop?
Like, no.
No, you know what? Honestly, it's kind of, I respect those people who put in so much time to kind of figure all of that out, because that's crazy.
And I mean, to be fair, they do have some kind of resemblance between Tarzan's parents and Anna and Elsa's parents, but the quality is different. Yeah. The drawing is different. It's hard to really tell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, though.
Yeah.
I enjoy hearing it.
So that was our last theory for the night. We will go off. We might not be back next week.
Right.
But we will have something up next week on our Instagram for sure.
I also wanted to just shout out to my friend who had a conspiracy theory of her own. So shout out to Vanessa, who knew that we were talking about conspiracy theories today. And she said that her conspiracy theory is that North American gyms are set out to, what did she say?
To kill people.
To kill people. I mean, she was at the gym and she was working out hard and just she was, I guess, tired and taking out her hatred towards the gyms. Anyways, it was just funny, and I thought I'd mention it and give her a shout out for that.
So right now I'll leave you guys with I've got a theory, because it was winning, and from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So enjoy.
That it's a demon, a dancing demon. No, something isn't right there.
I've got a theory, some kid is dreaming, and we're all stuck inside his wacky Broadway nightmare.
I've got a theory, we should work this out.
It's getting eerie, what's this cheery singing all about?
It could be witches, some evil witches. Which is ridiculous, cause witches, they were persecuted, wicked, good, and love the earth and women power, and I'll be over here.
I've got a theory, it could be bunnies.
I've got a
bunnies aren't just cute like everybody's poses. They got them happy legs and twitching little nose.
Midgets.
I've got a theory, we should work this fast.
Because it clearly could get serious before it's past.
I've got a theory, it doesn't matter.